Hello, friends. Welcome to Think Jesus Cafe. This is your Daily 10. Today, we'll consider the first six verses of chapter 4 in 1 John. 1 John chapter 4, verses 1 through 6. Beloved, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits to see whether they are from God, for many false prophets have gone out into the world. By this ye know the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesses that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is from God, and every spirit that does not confess Jesus is not from God. This is the spirit of the Antichrist, which you heard was coming and now is in the world already. Little children, you are from God and have overcome them, for he who is in you is greater than he who is in the world. They are from the world, therefore they speak from the world, and the world listens to them. We are from God. Whoever knows God listens to us. Whoever is not from God does not listen to us. By this we know the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. Okay, well, in verse 1, the Apostle John warns us to be on guard against spiritual deception. In verse 1, John writes, Beloved, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits to see whether they are from God, for many false prophets have gone out into the world. Notice the plurality that John uses here. He says, do not believe every spirit, which indicates that there are more than one evil spirit. And then John says, quote, test the spirits, plural. So immediately the apostle wants to remind us that there are many evil spirits circulating among us, so spiritual discernment is essential. So John is urging us to be watchful for spiritual deception. In chapter 3, verse 24, John has just mentioned the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, whom God has given us. And with that, John is referring to the Spirit who resides in believers and who gives believers assurance of their union with God. But John also knows that there are other spirits, and those spirits are not holy. They are unholy, wicked, liars, deceivers. John is pointing out that evil, unholy spirits exist and that their mission is to corrupt truth. These unholy spirits are demonic, and their evil work consists of promoting false doctrine so that people, especially believers, will be led away from the truth. These unholy, evil spirits sow confusion about God, the purposes of God, and the truth of God. They especially sow confusion about the purposes of man and what it means to be a human being and our deep need to be united with God in Christ. John warns that there are many unholy spirits, and those unholy spirits reveal themselves through the false teaching of unholy men, false prophets being driven to declare false doctrine concerning God. These false prophets may in fact use the language of the Bible, but they twist it, take away from it, add to it, and come up with a very deceptive false gospel. Now, twisting God's truth has been Satan's strategy from the beginning, and these unholy, evil spirits simply follow the lead of their master, Satan. In the Garden of Eden, in Genesis 3, Satan attacked God's word by using three subtle manipulations. First, in Genesis 3:1, Satan cast doubt on what God had said about eating the fruit of the tree of life. Ever since then, Satan and his underlings have worked and worked at casting doubt on the Word of God. Second, in Genesis 3:4, Satan outright denied what God had said. Ever since that day, Satan has been raising up voices who will flat out deny what God has said. Third, in Genesis 3:5, Satan distorted what God had specifically told Adam. Again, Satan has been hard at it ever since. The father of evil has been attempting to distort God's truth, biblical truth, ever since. Three subtle manipulations that are very present in the world today. Doubt, denial, and distortion. So the Apostle John says, test the spirits to see if they are from God. God's messengers will not cause us to doubt God's word. God's messengers will not deny God's word. And God's messengers will not intentionally distort the word of God. Now, this is an important point, my friends. Any ideology, philosophy, opinion, or religion that runs counter to God's truth fits right into Satan's agenda. It fits right into Satan's plan to cast doubt, deny, and distort the Word of God. Now, friends, it's important to realize and accept what the Bible teaches on this subject. The Bible teaches that behind every false prophet, behind every false teacher, is an evil spirit. These false teachers have an unholy spirit which is motivating and directing them, whether they know it or not. These teachers are confident that they are speaking out of their own intellectual achievements, but in reality, they're being guided by an evil spirit. John refers to this as the Antichrist spirit, which is behind all who belittle and falsify biblical truth concerning Jesus. There is a spirit of truth, the Holy Spirit, who works in true believers. And there are evil spirits, false spirits, spirits of error who speak error through those who do not believe, those who do not follow Jesus Christ. So when we hear men and women talking about religious things, supernatural things, and things concerning the soul, we shouldn't be too quick to simply receive what they're saying as true. This is especially true when it comes to sweet-sounding words. We all like the sound of kindness, compassion, and love. But poison, my friend, may be deceptively hidden beneath the wrappings of sweet delight. Things like repentance, carrying our own cross, crucifying self, and following Jesus as Lord, well, those things don't have the same sweet softness to them. Now, it's really important for us to come to grips with a couple of things. For those of us living in the 21st century, well, we tend to think that we're so advanced in our thinking. We tend to think that our scientific and social discoveries have elevated us far beyond the thinking of the ancient world. Now, we are thankful for advances in many areas of life, medicine, for example. But we have to be careful when it comes to spiritual things, relational matters, our understandings of things eternal, and our understandings of what it means to be truly human. For those things, we need to turn to the Bible. In the ancient world, in the days of Jesus and the Apostle John, there was widespread recognition of the existence of invisible spirits. There was widespread recognition of spiritual realities that operated behind what was visible in daily life. In the 21st century, though, many, many people pride themselves upon the fact that they've grown beyond all of the superstitious nonsense of the ancient world. So they say. Many people today just can't intellectually accept any kind of supernatural thinking, and this position leaves them exposed to all kinds of evil manipulations devised by these unholy spirits. The anti-supernatural worldview leaves people vulnerable and defenseless to all kinds of devilish activity that subtly operates behind what can be seen. All wrapped up in the pride of intellectualism is a person who, in truth, is helpless against the trickery of Satan and his unholy spirits. As a result of their anti-supernatural bent, many people live with no defense at all against these very destructive forces. Every person who has ever existed, including you and I, every person who has ever existed has had to deal with the influence of the hidden spiritual world. We all have had to face the consequences of the wickedness of these evil spirits. But the gospel gives us an opportunity to experience a different reality. The gospel gives us an opportunity and the tools necessary to defend ourselves against such wickedness. The gospel, my friend, gives believers the indwelling Holy Spirit, who is our greatest defender against the trickery of Satan. The indwelling Spirit gives us growth in wisdom, discernment, obedience, and love for the brethren, all of which are supernatural tools in our battle against evil spirits. All right. In verse 2, John says, "By this you know the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesses that Jesus has come in the flesh is from God, and every spirit that does not confess Jesus is not from God." Notice this. Twice, John uses the word confess. And that word, the word confess, means to be in agreement. In context, it means to be in agreement with God about Jesus Christ. When we confess, we're declaring our agreement with God about things concerning Jesus Christ. Next time, we'll explore further what it means to confess that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh. Thank you for joining us in Think Jesus Cafe. This has been your Daily 10, and this is your host, Mark Day. Just a reminder that Think Jesus Cafe, the podcast, can be found at thinkjesuscafe.com or anywhere you like to find your favorite podcast. Join us again next time as we think about Jesus, a biblical worldview, and real life.